This is Fresh Air. 10 years ago, Sarah Paretsky created a new kind of private detective. V.I. Warshawski is tough, hot-tempered, and independent, and she specializes in white-collar crime. She drinks Johnny Walker Black Label Scotch straight up, and she hates being called Vicky. Until the women's movement, it would have been difficult to imagine the kind of hard-boiled detectives that Paretsky and other female mystery writers have created, writers like Sue Grafton, Nancy Pickard, and Susan Wolfe. Paretsky's latest novel is called Guardian Angel, and it centers around a neighborhood that's getting yuppified. The newcomers, looking to improve the appearance of the place, are pressuring the old-time residents to clean up their yards. The worst offender is Hattie Frizzell, whose yard is a mess and whose dogs are considered a menace. As it turns out, V.I. Warshawski lives in this neighborhood, too. I asked Sarah Paretsky to read the opening page of Guardian Angel.
Hot kisses covered my face, dragging me from deep sleep to the rim of consciousness. I groaned and slid deeper under the covers, hoping to sink back into the well of dreams. My companion wasn't in the humor for rest. She burrowed under the blankets and continued to lavish urgent affection on me. When I covered my head with a pillow, she started to mew piteously. Now thoroughly awake, I rolled over and glared at her. "It's not even 5:30. You can't possibly want to get up." She paid no attention, either to my words or my efforts to dislodge her from my chest, but looked at me intently, her brown eyes open wide, her mouth parted slightly to show the tip of her pink tongue. I bared my teeth at her. She licked my nose anxiously. I sat up, pushing her head away from my face. "It was this indiscriminate distribution of your kisses that got you into this fix to begin with." Happy to see me awake, Peppy lumbered down from the bed and headed for the door. She turned to see if I was following, making little whimpering noises in her impatience. I pulled a sweatshirt and shorts from the heap of clothes near the bed and padded on sleep-thickened legs to the back door. I fumbled with the triple locks. By that time, Peppy was whimpering in earnest, but she managed to control herself while I got the door open. Breeding shows, I guess.
I love that opening to the book. And I was thinking, for someone that had no idea that your book is about a female detective, they would really be kind of bamboozled by that opening.
Well, I guess I was just having fun being a little bit naughty with that, because when I first started writing the books, my character, V.I., she does have affairs. She's not promiscuous. I mean, there's never more than one lover per book. And some people would write just absolutely furious. You know, they live for years with Spencer and Marlowe and all these men who sleep around a lot. But as soon as V.I. started doing it, it was just more than body and soul could take. And they would write and say, "You know, I read this and I threw the book across the room so hard the spine broke." But then I heard from, they sort of sorted themselves out after the first two books. But over the years, I've gotten lots of letters from people who said, "You know, why isn't there more sex in your books?" And
so you showed them, right?
Right. You know, I think if you want to know how to do it, get a sex manual. But I just couldn't resist starting there with her.
Well, I must say, in this latest novel, it seems like V.I. is tired. She needs naps. She writes about being exhausted and tired. And I was wondering, too, as she approaches 40, is she beginning to feel her age?
I don't know. When you put it that way, it sounds as though she's beginning to feel my age is what happened to her. But yes, one of the issues that I need to sort out before I sit down and start the next book is how aging is going to affect her. And Guardian Angel really ends with her saying, "When my muscles slow down, what other strengths will I find?" And I don't know yet, but one of the things that I want to do, one of the things that keeps her interesting for me, is to age her as I age. And it makes it an interesting challenge. And I don't have the answer. What will she find, a partner? Will she find other ways of solving problems? I've got to sort that out.
Well, the book is titled Guardian Angel, and yet she dreams. I mean, these are nightmares about abandonment. And I think of abandonment and old age, the kind of loneliness when people do leave because they have died. Is that a theme that you even personally are wrestling with?
Oh, yes. I think alienation and loneliness are perpetual themes for many people, and certainly for me. I mean, it's true that I'm married and very happily married. My husband is more than 20 years older than I am, and I think as I watch him, he doesn't seem like an old man, but he's in his late 60s. I start getting terrified about the prospect of life alone without him. I worry about his own diminishing strength, and I don't know. It's possible to be in love and happily married and still feel isolated and alienated, I suppose.
Well, you have some back problems yourself, and I wonder whether it seems from what I read about you that they are flaring up and that you are in some pain.
Well, when I was working on the early stages of Guardian Angel, my back was just an ordinary bothersome back until I got bad medical care.
Really?
And then I was almost permanently crippled. I was just very lucky to make the recovery that I did. And I think that was also on my mind as I was writing the book. I mean, I'm much better now than I was, but I know how frail that I am, or how frail certainly I can be.
In a recent article I read about you, you said that you hated your books, and this is a quote, "I always hate them, but I hate this one more," and that's referring to this latest book. Do you really hate your books?
I think that there's
Is that going through a period of hating your books?
As I get more remote from them, I start to like them better. I find them more readable. When they first come out, the problem is it's really an issue of voice and voicelessness. And I'm going to just take a minute to explain this if you're interested.
Sure, go ahead.
I think that the struggle that I've always had throughout my life is needing to find a voice and needing to find the courage to speak. And I grew up in a time and place where women's lives, little girls' lives, were rather significantly devalued. And although I had written all my life, it took me a long time to get kind of the courage to write for publication. But I find somehow that I'm still shocked at hearing myself. When I read interviews, I think, you know, I've spoken too much, too strongly. And when I read what I've written, it in a way almost terrifies me to see it laid out there. And I almost need to jump back away from it.
I'm speaking with Sarah Paretsky, and for some 10 years now, or nearly 10 years now, she's been writing detective novels featuring her female detective, V.I. Warshawski, and her latest book is called Guardian Angel. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. I'm speaking with writer Sarah Paretsky. I must ask you why you gave V.I. Warshawski the name Victoria Iphigenia Warshawski. And as I read that, I thought, boy, what parent would give their daughter a name like that?
Yeah, what cruel and inhuman.
To saddle her with a name like that.
I wanted my own last name is Polish, but I'm just abysmal with the ethnic origins of last names. I wanted to give V.I. a Polish last name, partly to reflect that part of my own ethnicity, but also because Chicago is a very sort of ethnically divided city. I would suspect probably only Boston is a place where people care as much about their racial or their ethnic backgrounds as they do in Chicago. So, you know, I just didn't know what would be a Polish name, what would be Croatian, what would be which. So I said, okay, Warsaw, that's in Poland, Warshawski, that's got to be Polish. Although, oh, never mind. I mean, then I found out some snot from the Slavic department at the University of Chicago cornered me at a party one night and said, well, you know, you've picked a last name of no definable place of national origin. And I said, well, it's Polish. And he said, well, not the way you've spelled it. And then it turns out that probably it's a Jewish name, which, you know, some Polish Americans then have been writing me hate mail, telling me that I'm just a dirty Jew trying to defame the Polish nation. And so it's been kind of more trouble in a way than I ever anticipated.
Well, I'm curious what it's been like for you since the movie version of your work, and with Kathleen Turner playing V.I. Warshawski. Did that contaminate at all your picture, your idea of a V.I.?
The process of making the movie made writing rather difficult at the time that I was doing it. Not so much because of Kathleen, but just the process was invasive. And it can be rather difficult. I minimized how much I had to do with the studio and with the production team when I realized that. But it's still, I think she's been such an intimate part of my life. V.I. has I don't know whether other writers feel this closely attached to characters that they create. I expect they do. When it's a series character, it's someone that you're living with for a very long time. I suddenly started feeling rather violated by having her taken over by other people. When the movie came out, though, and I went to see it, it's so different from what I do and from what I try to do that I felt a real sense of release. It gave the character back to me.
You started Sisters in Crime back in 1986, an organization for women mystery writers. Why did you start that organization then? Why did you think it was important that women mystery writers have their own group?
Sisters in Crime is really about women getting together to help women, although the organization is open to men, and we do have male members, and we do support their work as members, just as we do women's work. At the time that I and a handful of other women got together and started this, we were hearing a lot of issues about the way in which some writers felt that women's work was being devalued. In some ways, I suppose you could say the most serious was that books by women were significantly underrepresented in reviews. And this is important because libraries buy books based on whether they see reviews of them. So if your book isn't out there, it doesn't get bought. And libraries really make the difference between whether you live or die as a new writer. What we found when we ran the numbers was that if you were a woman writing a mystery, or if you were a man writing a mystery, you were 7 times more likely to have your book reviewed than if you were a woman.
Is that because some of the male writers had a track record? Did that make a difference?
I think that one of the things that people look at is, oh gosh, I mean, you see this in the movies. If it's a Joan Crawford movie, it's a woman's movie. If it's a Western, it's a movie, you know? If you're doing something which is perceived as being masculine, it's perceived as being for everyone. If you do something which is perceived as being feminine, then you're just doing it for women. I think one reason that my books and that of the other writers doing hard-boiled work, like Sue Grafton or Linda Barnes and so on, why we've always gotten the attention we have is because we are doing something that's masculine. And so I mean, we're writing in a very male form, and so it's just taken more seriously, perhaps, than the work that some other writers are doing.
Did you see yourself, or do you see yourself, as taking on, then, a male world?
Well, certainly in just choosing to show a woman doing a job which historically was closed to women, you are, to that extent, taking on a male world. You're also taking on certain kinds of stereotypes. If you look at mainstream American crime fiction, what you find is that women are almost always portrayed, I mean, who they are is defined by their sexuality. So that in Chandler, for instance, in 6 of his 7 novels, it's a beautiful, sexually active woman who causes everything that goes wrong. And that's a theme that continues to run through this kind of novel. Tom Tober wrote a book called Coda sometime in the mid-80s, and the opening sentence is, the trouble began in bed. And we know when we read that, that this troublemaker is going to be our villain, and sure enough, she is. And we also see women are portrayed either directly as prostitutes or indirectly. I mean, they may be professionals like Glenn Close in Fatal Attraction, but they're unable to operate in any other way than as driven by and determined by their sexuality. So if you're going to stand up and say, I have a different vision of how women act and what drives them, then you are taking on just a whole raft of stereotypes.
Well, I regret to say we're out of time, but I thank you very much, Sarah Paretsky, for joining us today.
Well, glad to be here. Thanks, Marty.
Detective writer Sarah Paretsky's latest book is called Guardian Angel. This is Fresh Air.